We'll get to our text in just a minute here, but let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we will begin. Father, we ask for your blessings tonight. We always need your presence here. We ask that you'd open up our hearts, Father, tune our minds. I know that's a personal choice, whether we will tune our heart and our mind to the things of God. But when we respond, Father, you have a way of opening up our spiritual understanding and our eyes that we may see your truth. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Bless the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we do, I'm going to put it in quotes, air quotes, we do a lot of things in the name of Christian service. You know, in the church, whether you serve, you know, in a Sunday school capacity, whether you clean the toilets, whether you vacuum floors, whether you sing in the choir, whatever. We do a lot of things in the name of Christian service. And we do that in the church. We do that in other areas of life. And we come together each week and we say that we come to worship the Lord. But is there real worship going on? Is it real worship? How do we practice real worship unto the Lord? Do we practice it by coming to a worship service on Sunday? You know, the evangelicals they're well known for having their praise and worship teams, right? And they get a group of people and they're all standing across the platform with their microphones and they're the praise and worship team. They're the ones who are leading the congregation in, quote, worship. And most of the time it's all flesh. Getting people riled up, getting people stirred up. That's not really what worship is. Is coming to a worship service on Sunday the definition of worship unto the Lord? Is waving your hands and, you know, even dancing in the aisles, is that worship? On the other hand, is sitting there stoic in church and solemn, is that worship unto the Lord? Is regular routine church attendance the definition of worship? You know, people might think, well, I'm a Baptist. I go to an independent Baptist church, a scriptural New Testament church. I've got the right doctrine. I go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other time the doors are open, I'm there. We have a routine down. But is that what constitutes real worship? Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing a mini-series on Wednesday nights. And I want us to explore what real worship is. And we're going to be looking at what God considers to be pleasing to Him and acceptable in His sight. We're going to be going through and taking a look at the heart attitude that must be in place that inspires and allows real worship unto the Lord. We're going to be looking at music as one of our examples. What does God say about it? What does music do for us and to us? Is good music important, or is it only personal preference? Does it even really matter? We're going to see how all of that relates to our worship to the Lord. And folks, if we don't have the right heart, and if we don't come with the right purpose, then what are we doing? We're just playing church. We're just going about our routine and maybe even just salving our conscience, our spiritual conscience. Well, I did my conscience. I did my duty for the week. The Lord's happy with me. But why not? Let's take a look at what God considers acceptable. And let's refocus our mind and heart. This is something that God's people all over the place, no matter where we're at in our Christian life, we need to be reminded. What does God consider to be worship? What is worshipful to Him? What brings Him glory? What brings Him honor? Is it the things that we do, or is there something more to it than that? And so we're going to look at all of those things. And tonight, we're going to be looking at the heart. The title of the message tonight is The Heart of Worship. The Heart of Worship. And so the series is entitled, What is Worship? And this is the first lesson in this mini-series. But tonight we're going to look at Psalm 26, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." The first principle tonight that we're going to look at is in verse 6. And the psalmist says here, "I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord." The first principle that we need to consider tonight with the heart of worship is that we need to have the right occupation. The right occupation. The question I'm going to ask you right now is this: what does God want from us the most, folks? What is God looking for from you? What does He want the most from His people? Does He want our faithful duty? You know, we got our routine. I'm faithful in all the things that I do in the church and the ministries that I serve in and this and that. Does He want our faithful duty? Does He want us serving and working tirelessly in the church? Well, yes, God does want our faithfulness. And yes, He does want our service. But that's not what He wants the most. I believe that God wants our honor. He wants our reverence. He wants our adoration of Himself. He wants a heart that honors and reverence and lifts Him up. He wants your heart. All of the things that we do, yes, we need to be faithful, but those things will only be right, and those things will only become really faithful if they're done from a heart of adoration and love. Because, you know, we can serve and serve and serve and serve and serve, and if it's not with the right heart and the right attitude, sooner or later, it's going to fail. It's going to fall. It's going to pass away. And even if you did that all of your life, one day you'd stand before God and it would be wood, hay, and stubble. God wants our heart. He wants our reverence. He wants our honor. He wants us to get a glimpse of who He really is and worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. This is a heart issue. And more than anything else, God wants us to adore Him and honor Him, and reverence Him. What occupies your mind? What occupies your heart? In order for us to really get a sense of worship unto the Lord, we need to have the right occupation. What is it that occupies your mind? What is it that occupies your heart? And the psalmist says here, he says in verse 6, "I will compass thine altar." That word compass means to revolve. It means to surround. It means to hover over. And he says, "I'm going to surround. My whole life is going to be revolved around the altar of God. I'm going to surround it." He says the altar is a place of God's presence. So get the picture here. He says, "I'm going to compass. I'm going to surround. I'm going to surround myself with the presence of God. I want God's presence to surround me." And he says, "I love the habitation of the Lord, the place where thine honor dwelleth." His entire life, in other words, his entire life revolves around honoring the Lord. Now, here's where we get to where you and I live. We need to have this same mindset, to give careful attention to God Himself in our daily lives. The things of the Lord need to be continually in our minds in our hearts. Is that how you operate your day? All right, let's just get right down to where you and I live again. What's your day like? We kind of talked about this Sunday afternoon. What are the things that dominate your thoughts? What are the things that dominate your life? On a regular basis, you know, you got to go to work, man. Everybody's got to work to provide for their family and make ends meet. That's important. You got to do that. But while you're at work, are you thinking about that fishing trip? Are you thinking about that hunting trip? Making plans for this, making plans for that. And we've got all of these things down, and our whole mind and our whole heart is consumed with the affairs of this life. Now, things are important. We got to live. But all of those things should never take priority over the Lord Himself. We got our priorities mixed up. We're not going in the right direction. We're not able to really worship the Lord until our hearts and our minds are occupied and consumed with the things of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what does it say? Pray without ceasing, right? Can you pray 24/7, ceaselessly? You know, nobody can do that. He's not talking about he's not talking about getting on your hands and knees and praying to the Lord 24/7. He's talking about an attitude of the heart, a heart attitude of prayer. Like when I'm going about my day and there are decisions that need to be made, and I say, Lord, I need your wisdom today. I need your wisdom in this particular instance right now. Show me what to do. I'm driving down the road and you can stop and you can look. Or as you're driving, you can look at God's creation and it can cause you to have a heart of love for the Lord and just cry out in thanks to God. Thank you, Lord, for how you work in my life. Thank you, Lord, for the direction that you give me. Thank you, Lord, for my church. Lord, by the way, so-and-so, they're really struggling right now. Would you work in their life? Help me to be a blessing to them. You can do that while you're driving down the road. You can do that while you're at work. Have a song in your heart. I love that. I don't even know for what reason. But I'll be going about my day and there's just this song in my heart, this tune. I just keep whistling it, singing it over and over and over again. And I'll stop and I'll notice it. I've been singing this song all day long. And you think about the words. And the Lord takes that and just ministers to my heart. The Lord gave me that song today. What occupies your heart? What occupies your mind? See, when we grow in our relationship with the Lord, and our love for the Lord is growing and He becomes more and more precious to us as the days go by, the more and more we're consumed by Him. When that heart attitude is in place, it opens the way and opens the door and allows for real worship unto the Lord. He wants our heart more than anything else. He wants our lives to be consumed with Him and His holiness and His goodness. That's what God wants. And see, our service unto the Lord will come as a natural result of our love for Him. It doesn't have to be conjured up. What I do and the faithfulness that I have for the Lord is because I love Him. But how do you love Him if you're not consumed with Him? Does that make sense? Are you with me here tonight? This is where you can say amen. I guess no one's here. When 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing, that word unceasing or without ceasing means uninterruptedly. It means pray to God, that is to supplicate, to worship. That's the definition of that word. To supplicate, to worship. What is he saying? God wants our worship continually. He wants us to praise Him and worship Him continually, but He has to have our heart first. We have to be occupied with Him. It's a heart of prayer and a heart attitude of prayer unto the Lord, acknowledging Him in everything as if He's right beside you, because He is. Do you have that relationship with the Lord? That personal relationship with the Lord, like you know and you feel, He's right beside me. Now, if He really were standing next to you and you were going about your day, do you think that you might turn to Him and acknowledge Him? Do you think you might turn to Him and say, "What do you think about this, Lord? Should I do this or shouldn't I? Tell me what I should do in this particular situation." Do you think you might do that if He was standing right next to you? Yeah, I think you would. But He is. He wants to be. Does He have your heart? In order to worship the Lord truly, there must first be the right occupation. He must occupy the heart and the mind. He must be the focus of your everyday life. Now, only you know. I don't know your heart. I don't know the things that you think about. Only you know if the Lord truly occupies your heart and your mind, if He's the focus of your life. But the thing that you think about the most in a day is the thing that occupies your mind and your heart. Is it pleasing the Lord? Is it loving the Lord? Is it growing? Folks, worship is not just a switch that we flip on. Oh, Sunday's here. Got to go to church Sunday morning. Time to flip the switch on so we can worship God. It's a heart matter. A heart that loves and honors and reverences a holy God. What occupies your heart and your mind? Look at verse 2. He says here, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." The second principle is this. Not only do we need the right occupation, but we need the right preparation. This is about giving some time to really think about the Lord. Giving some time to really think about your relationship with Him. Have you done that lately? Just had some time to think about, where do I stand in my relationship with God? Well, the psalmist here, he mentions a number of things. He says, first of all, examine me. The psalmist says, test me, prove me, try me. That's what that word examine means. To test, to prove. Are we willing to say that to the Lord? Honestly, ask yourself the question. I mean, I'm not playing games here. And you shouldn't be either. Ask yourself the question, am I really willing to say that to God? Test me. Prove me. Put me to the test. Have you ever had that heart attitude toward the Lord? I think that sometimes God's people think that they love God. But if He were to come and really examine our everyday life, our lives would show that we actually love something else more than Him. And we don't want to say, test me, God, prove me, try me, because we're afraid of what that means we've got to give up. We're afraid of what He might bring into our lives. Or we don't care that much. Oh, I'm settled. I'm saved. It's a mark of how much we really love Him, really. He says, secondly, prove me. That also means to test. And then he says, to try my reins. This word literally means to refine. It means to purge away what is in the mind and heart. Think about this. The psalmist is saying, Lord, test me, prove me. He says, purge away what is in my mind and my heart. Refine me. You know what he's saying? I'm not what I should be. But you can make me what you want me to be. I'm willing. If I've got to give up this, and if you want this out of my life, that's okay with me. I'm willing for you to do that. Lord, show me my pride. Show me my arrogancy. Show me my haughtiness. Lord, refine me. Take it away. Make me what you want me to be. Oh, we think that we know. We've got our lives all figured out. We think we're okay. When in reality, if we could see it maybe the way God sees it, we wouldn't have that same mindset. We're full of pride and arrogancy. We can't worship the Lord until the heart is prepared. Until we come to the place where, Lord, I'm an open book. Lord, I just want you to make me what you want me to be. Refine me. In other words, lay bare anything that is there, Lord, because I want to be pleasing to you. I want you to be pleased with me. Why? Because I love you. You get that? See the principle? I want you to be pleased with me because I love you. And so whatever you want to do, just do it. Lay bare anything that's there. Now sometimes the Holy Spirit tries to do that through preaching, through parents, through authority in our lives, who might say, hey, you know what? I sense this is going on in your life. You're really deficient in this area here. You need to change. You need to do some work here. And we just like, who does he think he is? And we get all huffy and get all puffy because somebody's telling me that I'm wrong. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just showing what human nature is. And I know this because I am that way too. Sometimes we get that way with God. And so when the Lord wants to refine us, sometimes the heat's got to get turned up. And when the heat gets turned up, it hurts. It burns. It stings. But it's for our good. And the psalmist says, if that's what you got to do, Lord, then do it. Refine me. I want you to be pleased with me. And what did he have? He had the right preparation. His heart was being prepared so that he could truly worship God. I think that what we really, really need is to understand who God really is. Folks, we're so flippant about God and his holiness. We got our lives all planned out, and this is the way I want it, and this is the way I'm doing it, and this is who I am. This is just being me. And we're so flippant about what God wants and his holiness. And he says, be holy, for I am holy. Who is this God that we say we serve? That we say we love? Do we really let him have that full control in our life? Do you understand who he is? And in order to worship him, we must understand who he is, that we might give him the honor and the reverence that he is due. And in order to do that, the heart has to be prepared. And that means an attitude of humility. That means a desire in the heart to truly walk with him in a close relationship so that we can learn to love him. That's heart preparation. And it opens the way for true worship unto the Lord. It's not something that we just conjure up. It's not about getting the people all excited. That's not what it is. You're missing the point if that's what you think. There are elements of worship that they only begin right here in the heart. And when the heart is right, it opens up the way to truly give God honor and glory. But we need to get a right understanding, a perspective of who he is. Or we need it refreshed, at least, in our minds. The third principle is found in verses 7 and 8. He says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Do you love the Lord's house? He says, I've loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. He loves to bring honor to the Lord. He loves being in the presence of the Lord. What is Sunday to you? Well, Sunday is the day that we go to church and we do, you know, our Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and then we have the rest of the day free to do what we want to do. It's easy to get that way. And maybe we don't even think consciously that, but that's how we act sometimes, and that's how we operate. Okay, we got to get our obligation out of the way. And we're done at 2:30. Maybe 3 if he goes long. And I got the rest of the day to do what I want to do. The psalmist said, I've loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. Sunday is not part of the weekend, like the world thinks. They think Sunday's part of the weekend, don't they? The week starts on Monday. But see, I've got after work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to do what I want to do. And then I got to go back to work on Monday. Sunday ought to be set aside, a day of worship unto the Lord. That doesn't mean you can't do other things. It's not the point. So don't go to the extreme and saying, oh, Brother Demlow says you can't do anything on Sunday. Not that any of you would do that. That's not what I'm saying. What is it in the heart? What does it mean to you in the heart? Is it a day to worship and honor the Lord? Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. The third principle is this, the right motivation. The right motivation. We've got the heart preparation. We've got the right motivation. What is the motivation for worship? What is the motivation to have a right heart? Well, it's for His honor, for His glory. He says there, I've loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. And so the question then is, what are we offering to the Lord in our service? What are we offering up to Him? Is it truly for Him, or is it for self? Is it out of obligation and duty? Well, this is what I have to do. Or is it because we love Him? You know, here's a good way to look at it. If Jesus Himself were coming to church on Sunday, and He was going to walk through those doors right there, and we saw Him, what would change? I mean, if we knew on Sunday, here He's coming, and we know ahead of time that He's coming, and He's going to walk through those doors, what would change about the way that we do things? You know, is He just the right songs picked out? I spend extra time thinking about it, because I know Jesus is coming. We get really studied up and prepared for Sunday school, because Jesus is going to stop by. You know, we got to get the grounds cleaned up. We got to get the buildings spruced up. Got to make sure everything's in the right place and everything's in order, because we know Jesus is coming. Are we lifting Him up? Or are we lifting ourselves up? Are we going about everything as routine without giving our full attention and effort to it because we want to do our very best for Christ? Because the fact is that He wants to come to this place on Sunday. It's a place where His honor dwelleth, the habitation of the Lord. Every Sunday ought to be approached like that. I'm going to do my very best today. I'm going to study, and I'm going to be ready for Sunday school. I'm going to be sharp. I'm going to be on time. I want to uplift the Lord because I want to do my best for Him because I know that He's going to be here. And I want to honor Him. That's a hard issue. See that what I'm talking about? It's a heart issue. I may be preaching to the choir, as they say, but I know what my tendency is. To kind of let things go and go about routine. And this is just what we do. And we stop. We don't stop to think about why. Who is this for? Am I truly honoring and worshiping the Lord in my heart, in my life, in my service? The habitation of the Lord, where thine honor dwelleth. Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. God wants glory in the church. He wants honor and reverence. He wants our respect. He wants our love. He wants our heart. The right motivation is to honor the Lord. And then secondly, it's so that others may see Him. Look at Psalm 26 again in verse 7. We're talking about the right motivation. What is the motivation for what we do? We want to honor the Lord. And then secondly, verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works so that others will see the Lord. See, this is the motivation for why we should be the motivation for why we do what we do. It should be the motivation for us to give our very all and to do our very best. Because I want to honor the Lord and I want others to see Him. We're not playing games. We want to honor the Lord. And we want His name to be magnified in this place. When people walk through those doors, we want them to get a sense of the presence of God. We want them to know who our God is that we serve. When they walk across our grounds and they see where we're at, we want them to be able to say, because they see that, to say, wow, they love their Lord. Now, it's not always about having the best of this and the best of that and having this and that. It's not what it's about. So don't go to extremes again. Not that you're doing that. That would be my tendency. It's about taking what God has given to us and doing the very best we possibly can with it so that He is glorified. You understand what I'm saying? The motivation is for Him and Him alone. The motivation is for others when they come to this place that they see Him and Him alone. He receives glory when we point others to Christ. What does Psalm 51 say? Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He says, when my heart is right, then I'll be able to teach others. I'll be able to show others the ways of the Lord. And sinners will be converted. God receives glory from that. When we point others to Christ. When we accurately represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Real worship in the right perspective of the Lord will motivate us to tell it to others. You understand that? Real worship and a right perspective of who God is will motivate us to tell it to others. I want, more than anything, to accurately represent the Lord in my life. The way I live, the way I dress, how I speak, what I say, even in my attitude and my spirit. I want to be humble, and I want to be meek. But I want to do my best for Christ. I want to accurately represent Him. And that should be the motivation of all of us in our daily lives. When people look at my life, when people look at me, Is it a right picture of who Jesus is and would be? So that others may see him. The motivation for his honor. And so that others will be pointed to Christ. See, real worship is a heart matter. That's where it begins. Worship is not just a thing that we do, folks. It comes from the heart. That's what the Lord's after, our heart. He's after our honor. He's after our reverence. The reverence of himself. Is he exalted and lifted up in your life? Really, truly. Is there real worship going on in your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these principles. Father, I pray that you'd help us to take a good, honest look. And Lord, if there is room for improvement, Lord, that we'd be willing to accept it, receive it, and then be determined that we're going to apply it because we love you, because we want to please you. Lord, I pray that that would be the heart of this church, to just lift up the name of Christ, to point others to you. Father, to give you the honor, the reverence, the worship that you are due. Help us to get a sense of who you are in our daily lives, to draw closer to you, to fall more and more in love with our Savior. And these other things are going to start to work themselves out. There'll be a natural result of that kind of heart. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the time we've had here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. I'd like for the song leader to come, pianist to come. I'm going to put you on the spot here, brother. I want you to find a song of praise and worship unto the Lord. We're going to sing a verse, a chorus of a song of praise him, and then you are dismissed after that. It's been good to be with you tonight. Thank you for your attention. And I'm excited. Every day I'm excited to be able to come and meet with my church family again. And I'm honest about that. I'm not just throwing words out there. The Lord's put it in my heart, and I'm excited about what he is going to do. So let's sing a song of praise unto the Lord, and then you are dismissed, brother. Come on up here.